Father, we thank you that your word says that the blood of Jesus speaks a better word than the sacrifices, God, even that Abel made to you. God, and how that you accepted that sacrifice of Abel, but the blood of Jesus even speaks a better word than that of the sacrifices of Abel. Everything that we've done, God, every accusation that the enemy has thrown toward us in your courtroom of heaven, your blood speaks a better word. It speaks a better word than what my past says. It speaks a better word than what society has said. It speaks a better word than what my childhood may have brought me from. Your blood, it speaks a better word. And for that, we're thankful. We're humbled. We're humbled by your majesty, Jesus. We're humbled by your majesty. Tonight, we just worship you, and we love you, and we thank you. We want to hear your voice. Come on, one more time. Just stretch your hands to him right now. Father, we just say we want you tonight. We just say we want you tonight. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. Speak to us tonight, God, out of the volume of your word. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Jesus, we worship you. Jesus, we worship you. We praise you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We bless you, Jesus. We praise you, Jesus. We thank you. Father, we just declare, Lord, that you are moving. God, just as you moved on the waters in Genesis 1, when the earth was without form or void, God, we just declare that you're moving throughout this city, God. We declare that gates are opening and chains are breaking, and you're preparing a way for us, Jesus, where there seems to be no way. We bless you, we honor you, and we glorify you. Jesus, we love you. Jesus, we love you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We praise you. We worship you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I want us real quick, I want us to hit just a couple of things in prayer real quick. I want to share with you briefly, we have confirmed the dates for the God of the City Conference, October 15th and 16th at Hotel Louisville. What's amazing about that is they have allowed us to use that venue for free. Many of you know that. Sheila, you will appreciate this. The Sunday that I was at Billtown, Pastor Dave Keeling spoke that prophetic word over me. He spoke these words. He said, God says to do everything that's in your heart, and the resources are already provided. It was later that week that we found out that Hotel Louisville was going to be free for us to use that conference center for the conference that we want to do. We found out that our video, our shooting, our editing, all of that stuff's going to be free. And so God was working even then. Let me tell you what I'm stoked about, and this is what we're going to hit in prayer. As you drive downtown, I'm sure you've seen these banners all over downtown that say Diane's Louisville, like Diane Sawyer or Colonel Sanders Louisville. There's a wall on Hotel Louisville that faces I-65, and I have spoken with them, and they're going to bring it before their board, but they're stoked about the opportunity of us putting a banner on that wall that says God's Louisville, and then the dates of our conference, God in the City Conference. And so, yeah, come on, that's give him praise. That's a big deal. That's Jesus. It's absolutely awesome. But here's what we got to do. We're going to have to go through the city, through permits and all of this stuff, and their board of directors there at Hotel Louisville. And so I want us to hit that in prayer right now. You know, you say, well, this is happening in October, but we got to get the ball rolling immediately on this stuff. So I want us to hit that in prayer. Listen, if God can provide resources and provide, listen, I told you, it's a miracle. We had prices of $10,000, $5,000, all over the board of what it was going to cost us to do this conference, and just the venue. And then we get one that says it's free. This is nothing for God. So I want us to pray and join our faith together right now and just pray that he would prepare the way and that the permits would go through and that they would be so receptive and we'd be able to hang a banner. And everybody that drives into downtown Louisville would be able to see that this is God's Louisville. And how awesome would that be? Would that not be phenomenal? Let's pray right now. Will you join your faith with me? Father, we just declare right now that you change the heart of kings and you change the heart of queens. And God, we just declare right now that you would prepare the way for whatever we need. God, whatever permits have to go through, that there would be no hassle. God, that everything would go through according to your will. And we just declare, God, that this is your Louisville. This is your city. You've spoken and said that it'd be the most safe city in America. And this is just going to be a reminder to every person who drives into downtown Louisville that this is your house. This is your place. This is where you live. And so we pray, God, that you would prepare the way for us. That you would open up doors. Come on, pray with me right now. Open your mouth. We ask that you would open up doors, God, that you would provide resources to get the banner. However many thousands of dollars it takes to print a banner that size and to get it hung on a wall like that, we just pray and call it in right now. You said to do what's in our heart and that the resources would be provided. And so we just declare, God, that you're opening up the gates. Lord, you're opening up the gates of supply. I just hear that by the Holy Spirit, that he's opening up the gates of supply right now and that everything that is in our heart we're going to be able to do. So, God, we just pray that you would make a way for that to happen in Jesus' name so that every time we drive into downtown Louisville and every person would see that this is God's Louisville. We thank you, God, for doing it, and we trust you, and we believe you, and we thank you for what you're doing. We honor you and bless you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Somebody give the Lord praise right now for already doing it. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Luke chapter 9. So good to see you all out. I apologize for the heat. As you can tell, the air conditioner is not working properly, so we're just going to pretend that we're having a tent revival tonight out in wherever. Luke chapter 9, verse 23 through 26. So good to see you guys. I'm going to speak to you tonight on a very, very touchy subject. I know that you all know that I'm never controversial or say what I think, but honestly, the Lord's been dealing with me very strong over the last several weeks about a specific topic, and I want to ask you to plug in to allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you tonight for what he wants to do, and that this would not just be another time or another teaching, but that we would really hear what he's saying tonight. Luke chapter 9. Verse 23. It's Jesus speaking. He said, then he said to the crowd, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must turn from your selfish ways, take up your cross daily, and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. And what do you benefit if you gain the whole world, but you yourself are lost or destroyed? I want to talk to you tonight about something that I believe is absolutely debilitating the body of Christ, and that is the idea of self-preservation or protecting yourself. I've told you many times that one of the worst things that can happen is for us to understand the moment that we're in and miss it because of something small or something that appears to be very minute in the scheme of things. But often that happens in light of what God's wanting to do, because it doesn't always fit the plans that we have or that we want. And God's just really been dealing with me very, very strong about the idea of being full of self-preservation and protecting ourselves at all costs. One of the things that we'll tend to do is we will tend to take a scripture like that right there that says that if you want to be my follower, you must turn from your selfish ways, take up your cross daily, and follow me. And what we'll do is we'll take a scripture like that and make it fit what we want it to fit. And we'll adjust it to the circumstances that we're in. Even more so with this scripture. Let's go to Luke chapter 14. We're going to have a lot of scripture tonight. Luke chapter 14. Verse 25. I want you to get it. I want you to find it. You got your Bible with you. Luke 14, 25. We're going to read through 33. A large crowd was following Jesus. He turned around and said to them, "If you want to be my disciple, you must hate everyone else by comparison. Your mother and father, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even your own life. Otherwise, you cannot be my disciple. And if you do not carry your own cross and follow me, you cannot be my disciple. But don't begin until you count the cost. For who would begin construction of a building without first calculating the cost to see if there's enough money to finish it? Otherwise, you might complete the foundation before running out of money, and then everyone would laugh at you. They would say, 'There's the person who started that building and couldn't afford to finish it.' Or what king would go to war against another king without first sitting down with his counselors to discuss whether his army of 10,000 could defeat the 20,000 soldiers marching against him? And if he can't, he will send a delegation to discuss terms of peace while the enemy is still far away. So you cannot become my disciple without giving up everything that you own." Now that can be a very, very touchy few verses of scripture. Because it's the scripture that says you must hate your mother and father, your brother, your sister, your children, your wife, everyone, even your own life, and come and follow me. And I believe that what's happened in Christianity and the body of Christ specifically is that we have taken scriptures like that, that are very clear, that are very plain, and we have formed them to fit the Christianity that feels good to us. The idea is that we can still skirt the line of compromise, skirt the line of giving up what we think would work, and still be okay with Christianity. It's funny to me that Jesus has to use this kind of language. And it says that he turned around. So in my mind's eye, I can picture him. You know, he's been talking and he's speaking and they can hear him. And he turns around to get serious with them and says, "Listen, if you're really going to follow me and be my disciple, you have to be willing to give up everything. You have to be willing to lay everything down." And what's happened in the body of Christ, in America specifically, is we have done this. We have said that he really didn't mean that. That's what we have said. We've said he really didn't mean that I needed to lay my life. Why would a loving God want me to lay down my life? Why would he want me to give up everything? He wants good things for me. He wants me to prosper. He wants me to be the head and not the tail, above and not beneath. He wants me to be blessed going in, coming out. He wants all of these great things for me. He really didn't mean that. He really didn't mean that I have to be willing to give up everything to follow him. And what we've done is we have literally built a religion that looks like true Christianity and sounds like true Christianity, but it's void of the essential concepts that Jesus left for us, and it was this, that you literally be willing to give up everything. Now, does that mean you're going to have to? Maybe not. But you have to be willing to put yourself there. The Bible said in 2 Timothy chapter 3 that in the last days, perilous times would surely come. And that men would be lovers of them of their own selves, idolaters, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Watch this. And they would have a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. You know what I always thought that meant? What I heard my dad preach and my grandfather preach and all the people. I always thought that meant that people that don't believe in the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Holy Spirit, that they have a form of godliness but deny the power thereof. But that's not. If you search that out, the literal translation is this. You have a form of godliness but deny the fact that he has the power to really change you. And he said, in the last days, they would become lovers of themselves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. And he said, from such people turn away. But if you look at the body of Christ at large, that's really what we have propagated to the world and said, listen, here's a form of Christianity that's not going to cost much. And that would be okay if I didn't read the Bible. Really. If I didn't read this scripture that Jesus says, and in my Bible it's red because it's the words of Christ, that said, you have to, by comparison, it doesn't mean you really have to hate your mother and father, but by comparison, the love that you have for me, it should look like hatred for those that are closest to you in comparison to the love that you have for me. And I want you to think about that. And I can feel that some of you right now, well, he really didn't mean that. Yeah, he really meant it. He really meant that. I want you to think about the love that you have. I want you to think about the love that you have for your father and your mother, for your children, for your brothers and your sisters. And he said, by comparison, it should look like hatred. Here's the deal. The problem that we have put together in the body of Christ is that we have said, what I'll do is I'll love him just a little bit, just enough to make it look like I've laid it all down, but I'm not really willing to give up everything because there's no way he could have meant that. I want you to think about that. I'm taking my time for a reason. I want to show you something. I want you to think about that. How many times have you been in conversations with people and they'll say, I really don't think that's what it meant about certain scriptures? Can I tell you that as a minister, even early on, that there were scriptures that I would read and I would adjust them to fit the context that I wanted? I'm just being transparent. I would adjust them early on. And I would say this. I used to say all the time, you know, I don't want to be super spiritual. I don't want to be that. And then one day, the Lord spoke to me, and he said, why not? Why not? If it's greater is he that lives in you than he that's in the world, why wouldn't you want to be super spiritual? And he took me down this path, and I began to read, and I began to think about these things. And you know, honestly, I was a really good son, and I was a really good grandson, and I really believed everything that was taught to me and everything that was said to me and everything that was given to me. And they were doing their very best. But the other thing that they taught me was not just to do that, but they taught me to study. And they taught me to get into the Word. And so when I got older, I got into the Word, and I found out, you know, it doesn't say this. Yes, I see that it says that women are not to be adorned with costly apparel and costly array and all of this stuff. But then I read in Ezekiel, and he said, I'm going to give you jewelry as a gift and all this stuff. And so God doesn't contradict himself. And we would battle back and forth between the lines of what's legalism and what's holiness and what's right and what's wrong. And at the end of the day, if you really get in the Word and ask God, what are you saying? He'll show you stuff, but you have to be prepared for him to turn around in the midst of what you're going through and say, you got to be willing to leave your father and mother and follow me to be my disciple. Hold up. I've got to be willing to lay everything down. Yeah, because in just a few years, I'm going to anoint Paul, and Paul's going to write to Timothy, and he's going to tell of a time that's coming where men are going to love themselves more than they love me. And when that time comes, you better be rooted and grounded in your life for me so that you don't fall. Why are you talking about this, PR? Because he said in Galatians that people that have selfish ambition, that self is what they think about, who follow after the lust of the flesh and have selfish ambition, he uses those words. He said, you do not inherit the kingdom of God if you live that way. Now, I used to think that meant I don't get to go to heaven. That's not what it's talking about. He's talking to the church in Galatians, okay? He's not talking to the world. When self is what is first, and my motivation for everything that I do is self, it puts me in a position to forfeit the inheritance that is the kingdom of God. Now watch this. He said, I've given you the keys to the kingdom here on earth, okay? And he said that a slave and heir differeth none until the heir comes to maturity. In other words, the slave and the heir are the same until the heir comes to maturity. And there's something at maturity that can be released to the heir that the slave can't have. In other words, there's an inheritance that can be released to the heir that the slave can't have, but the consequence is that the heir has to come to maturity. And so he says, let's look at this in Galatians chapter 5. He said, when you follow the desires of your sinful nature, verse 19, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, other sins like these. Let me tell you again, as I have before, anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. So it puts me in a position to forfeit my inheritance. Here's the other thing that I'm going to mess with you right here. When people are motivated by self and selfish ambition, let me tell you this, it's the gateway to sexual perversion. Y'all hear that pin drop? I heard it. Why are you talking to me about this? Go find out what the statistic is for pornography among men. Statistics are that 1 in every 4 men are addicted to online pornography. You talk about homosexuality. Homosexuality is nothing more than selfishness. Looking at something that looks like you and desiring it. Selfish ambition opens a gateway to sexual perversion. I feel as if I have to fulfill these needs that are on the inside of me, and so I'll do whatever else. Look at that. He lists all of that, but all of it comes under selfish ambition. And so what we've done is we have made this gospel, and we've given this gospel to so many people that says you only have to take a portion of this, and you don't have to take the whole thing. And the only reason, listen to me, man, listen, I have been in circles, I have talked to preachers, I have laid at youth camp with multiple preachers and all of this, I'm telling you, I have done the deal. I've talked to them, been around them, big names, little names, whatever you want to talk about. And I'm telling you, there is a large majority of men, and I'm telling you that I was one of them at one time, who were motivated by self and what they could do to promote their self. And what happens when you're that way is you send that to the people that are under you. And now we have a movement in America, instead of being the body of Christ that could take America by storm, it's a body that is motivated by selfish ambition, and we see sexual perversion all over the place. We see it in pulpits. We see it in pews. We see it everywhere. And the reason is because we said, you only have to have a piece of this. You only have to have a piece of this gospel. Why in the world, PR, are you talking to us about this? Because I sense by the Holy Spirit that there are people in here under the sound of my voice right now who are extremely motivated by self. And it has caused me to evaluate myself over the last several weeks. And I've said, God, if it's me, if they're getting it from me, what is it? Come on, PR, what do you do? Because we have to do something in this city. That's a little bit extreme. So was hanging on a cross. So was getting beaten. So was getting a beard pulled out. That's a little bit extreme, isn't it? He really couldn't have meant that. If you're going to be my disciple, you're going to have to give up everything. And the reason I know he meant it is because he gave those two little parables afterward. He said, you know, I want you to understand, it's like a guy who's building something, he's going to count the cost. It's like a guy who's going to war, he's going to count the cost. I want you to count the cost because I'm telling you, I really mean this. We get one life to live. We get one life to live. And a lot of what we do, we don't have a shortage of asking God to come. Are you with me? I don't believe for one minute that you don't want God to come to your life. I know you do. I know that you do. And I applaud you for that. What I question is, are you willing to get rid of the stuff that keeps him from coming? We want him to come. If this vase was our life, and this was God coming into our life, we ask him to come in great measure, don't we? And when he comes, a lot of times what happens is it ends up looking like this right here. That's good drinking water, isn't it? You saw me pour in pure water. There's no trick. You know exactly what it is. A little bit of food coloring in there to show you that just a little bit of self mixed in with the relationship. Just a little bit of pride mixed in with what we call relationship. Just a little bit of I'm still struggling mixed in. And what happens? Look at this. Our life did not take the form of what was poured in it. What was poured in it took the form of what was in our life. What are you saying? The Bible says that he created us in his image. But I declare to you that the church in America has tried to make Jesus and the Holy Spirit conform to our image because we're not willing to get rid of what's inside of us. Watch this. You have to leave your father and mother, be willing to leave your father and mother and follow me. Well, I'm going to keep going, but come on. He really doesn't mean that. Come on. It's okay. It's okay. Say a prayer, cry, feel good. Come on. It's okay. It's okay. And what we do is we make the voice then of the one who's speaking void. And watch this. You know why we don't have faith in church? You know why faith levels are low in churches? I'm going to tell you why. It's because this is what we worship. We don't worship the true Jesus. We worship what we have made Jesus to be. Our ideas of what we think Jesus meant when he said you got to be willing. Does anybody feel this? You have to be willing to give up everything. Oh, but you didn't really mean that. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to worship the Jesus that makes me feel good. That's why I can turn my praise off when I don't feel like doing it. Because it's just the Jesus that I feel like praising. It's just the one that I feel like praising. It's not the real one. So I can turn it off because the one that I feel like praising really isn't worthy of anything other than what I deem in my mind necessary to give him. Right? And so when we feel good, we get filled up. We say, send it, Lord. Send it till I'm overflowing. The problem is, I'm overflowing, but I still have this form and not this form. It's the law of reciprocity, sowing and reaping. See, we think that God, since he initiated that law, he's the only one that gets to practice it. No. Watch this. I'm getting ready to show you a tool of the enemy and how the enemy uses. It would be a travesty to the kingdom of darkness if this is what was overflowing. But it's a benefit when the Jesus that I have made up in my mind that takes my form and doesn't really have the power to transform my life and change me and fix situations, it's a travesty to the kingdom of darkness if it's the real deal. But if it's a Jesus that has taken my form that continues to be poured out over and over again, then what I'm doing is I'm multiplying people who are living a life of deception because all they're getting is what I'm giving them, and what I'm giving them is a made-up Jesus. I'm for real. I hear some of you, is he for, I'm for real. But I give up everything. No. I'm for real. This is what we look like. A majority of the time. Because we want him to take our form. Why don't we see the sick healed and the dead raised? It's because this is what we're giving them. This is what we're giving them in our life. This is what we're doing. And so what happened? The reason why we don't have time to win the lost. Are you with me? The reason we don't have time to win the lost is because the majority of time in church has to be spent doing this to the people that are supposed to be saved so that they can get the junk out of them. And look how long it takes. And we wonder why cycles happen and we have to go around and we have to go around. And I'm continually, but I went to church. I went and I'm continually going and I want you to come, Jesus, and I want you to do all of this. But look at all of the time that has to be spent trying to get the mess out of me so that it would be worth giving to somebody. And I still wouldn't want to drink that water. Would you? So we go through a cycle. Well, maybe I'm getting a little better. Give me just a little more, Jesus. Give me just a little more. And we keep going. We keep going. And we keep going. One more cycle. One more. Let me go around again. This is what I want it to be. Now, looks pretty good. Looks pretty good, doesn't it? It's pretty good. But it's still what I want him to be. Right? But it's only that way. Watch this. It's only that way until I face a circumstance that challenges what I have created in my mind. That's the reason that this can keep going. And you can keep going in cycles is because a lot of people won't challenge what you've created to be your real Jesus. Is anybody getting what I'm saying tonight? And so now, we look pretty good. And then something comes along. We say, you know what? One drop. You didn't really mean that. Right? You mean that I really have to tithe according to your word? You didn't mean that. Come on, you know I can't afford that. 10%? You mean that I really, really have to lay down everything that I have? And we're right back to a water that I wouldn't want to drink, much less give it to somebody else. Come on. Be real with me for a little while. At the end of the day, what is the motivating factor for the decisions that you make on a daily basis? Is it to follow the kingdom of God? Or is it to preserve self because he really didn't mean that I had to give up everything? I have to hit this because I don't believe we can change Louisville until we get this right. But I absolutely believe that if we can get this right, we can change Louisville just like that. Just like that. If self is not the motivating factor, well, I can't give my time. I've only got so much. I've only got so much time. I can't do that. You mean you really want me to pray every day? Seriously? Do you know how busy I am? You mean I really, really have to get in the Word? I really have to believe this? Do you know how absolutely busy I am? How hard I work? How much I do? I'm finna wreck somebody right now. I'm getting ready to wreck somebody. There is a possibility that if your occupation dominates you so much that it pulls you away from doing the work of the kingdom, that you ought not be doing that occupation. I just want to bless you with that right there. But I got to pay the bills. I have to do this. I read that you have to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things would be added unto me. Oh, but he didn't really mean. No, I didn't say go quit your job. I said stop trying to work for all the material things that you think you have to have and get in a place of kingdom so that what you're giving off doesn't look like that. Because once again, I do not for one minute believe there's one person under the sound of my voice that doesn't want more of God and doesn't want to see Louisville saved. If you're in here, honestly, I'm going to call you out right now. If you're in here and you don't want to see Louisville get saved, raise your hand. You don't want to see Louisville get saved. Exactly. Every person in here wants that, right? But are you willing to get to a place where you get rid of all of the junk? So that there's no more self, no more gateway for sexual perversion, no more envy, no more strife. If this is Holy Spirit and this is your life, what would being fruitful look like if this happened every time and it didn't have to compete with anything else that was in your life? That every time you got full like this, you were overflowing with more of Holy Spirit. What would it look like? What would the world around you look like if every time it happened like that right there and there was nothing else to compete with? What would sickness look like in Louisville if the body of Christ didn't have to work on their faith every time they come together, but they lived in a place of faith so that the Holy Spirit could just be overflowing? What would finances in the kingdom look like? We wouldn't even need, listen, we wouldn't even need a prophetic word that says that the resources are going to be taken care of if we had people that were living a life overflowed by the Holy Spirit. Do you know that statistics say that 6%, it's way higher in our gatherings because you all are great, but 6% of people who profess to be Christians actually tithe. Watch this. If every person that said they're a Christian tithed, went on welfare, and actually tithed on their welfare, giving in the church would go up 30%. Think about that. That's nuts. Absolutely nuts. I'm tired of trying to conform Jesus to what I want him to be. Because guess what? The Jesus that I made up has done this. The real Jesus has wrecked me and put me at a place to where I have to say, God, everything that's in me that's not of you, I give you my time. I give you my kids. I give you everything. You just got it all together. No, I don't. I'm learning. I'm learning. I'm learning. But the lesson is great because you know what it's producing? It's producing kids who get in a car after being in a time of intercession. You ask them, what are they hearing? One of them says, I hear that we need to pray for China and for downtown Louisville. And another one says, I think we need to pray for Russia. And another one says, I think we need to pray for Haiti. Because I've said, God, whatever you have to do, I want my kids to prophesy. I want my kids to have dreams. I want to prophesy. I want to have dreams. And there's times where he has to pour and redo the cycle to get the junk out of me, but I've made up in my mind that I'm not going to conform Jesus to what I think he should be. And that what he really said he would be and do is what is really true for my life. Does that mean I'm supposed to not have wealth and I'm not supposed to? No. I fully expect to have wealth. I want you to listen. I fully expect it. I'm making plans right now. I spoke with Henry Boyens last night, and for 15 minutes, he talked to me about strategy, about millions that are coming into the kingdom. Millions, Ryan. I tell you, I'm believing God for it. Millions. Dude is writing a book right now. I mean, honestly, he's writing a book that he fully expects that he's going to sell it to Walmart and they're going to sell it. A children's book. Because God gave him strategy for it. Millions, Ryan. Over and over, he said it last night. I'm telling you, it's coming to the kingdom. So does that mean, no, it meant it for the rich young ruler because he wasn't willing to give it up. You get that? See, the kingdom is opposite. It's what you're willing to give up that you gain. You get that? It's what you're willing to give up that you gain. That's the principle of the kingdom of God. It's not what I give up that I never get to see it again. It's what I'm willing to give up, I gain. He said, if you give up your life, you gain it. But if you try to keep it, you lose it. I'm done. I just want to tell you, the most dangerous thing about being motivated by self is that it gives you a distorted view of everything around you. Everything around you is clouded. You make decisions based upon what is going to benefit you every time. And it may be passive aggressive. You would never say, I'm going to do this because it's better for me. But when you learn to live your life for self, your view becomes distorted of everything else. I've met a few people like that who are completely motivated by self. I don't believe that the people under the sound of my voice are so motivated by self that you can't receive what I'm saying tonight. I believe by the Holy Spirit that you can listen to what I'm saying and that you can say, God, if it's in me, remove it. And some of you not even say, if it's in me. You just say, God, remove it. Is that okay? But I've been around people who are so motivated by self that it is sickening to be around them. You ever been around that person? That is so self-centered that it is sickening to be around them. And I tell you this because here's the deal. When Louisville becomes the most safe city in America, Firehouse isn't going to be at the forefront. And we don't care if we're at the forefront. Our prayer is connect us with people who can make Louisville be the most safe city in America. And if you use us, great. And if you don't, we'll hold up somebody's hand so that they can fight the battle. That's what we're after. And we got to get that through all of us. I feel the Holy Ghost. I felt it right up my back when I said that. I'm telling you, we got to get to the place to where we don't care if we get to hold a microphone, if we get to do anything, but we can hold the hands up of somebody who can say, listen, look, here's the one who's coming who can take away the sin of the world, and we get to be a part of a third great awakening. We may not be the initiators, and we may not get the credit for it, but daggone it, we're not going to miss the third great awakening just because we're motivated by self. We're going to get things right so that he can flow through us purely. Is anybody with me? Here's what I want to do. Josh, if you can just go put some soft music through an iPod or there. I don't want to lay hands on you. I don't want to cast self out of you. I can't tell you how to pray. But every person under the sound of my voice ought to find a place to pray tonight and say, God, I want you to rip self out of me. I want you to rip it out of me so that when I give to somebody else, it's not tainted, but it's pure. That everything I give them is pure. Come on, would you do that? Would you find a place right now? God, make me right before you. Make me right. Come on, don't wait for another person. Go find you a place and say, make me right before you. God, make me right before you rip self out of me. I don't want to be motivated by self any longer. I don't want to be motivated by self. I don't want to be motivated by selfish ambition any longer. I want to be what you want me to be. Come on. God, we ask you to make us pure. Make us pure before you, Jesus. Make us pure before you, Jesus. Make us pure before you, Jesus. Make us pure before you. Come on, cry out right now. Make us pure before you, Lord. Rip it out of us, God. Rip it out of us. Rip it out of us, Jesus. Rip out every trace of self. Selfish ambition, rip it out of us. Come on, lift your voice and ask him. Oh, God, you got to take it. No more in the form of what we make it, what we've made it up to be.